Please be seated. Well, it's rather an odd gospel to hear this morning. On this feast day dedicated to the reign of Christ, to Christ as our King. And it's an odd gospel to hear when our calendars and our to-do lists and our attention are really already turned towards Advent, that season of preparation and anticipation for all the goodness that God promises. In fact, truth be told, our calendars and our to-do lists and our attention are probably actually already all turned all the way to Christmas. And the wonder and joy of God coming to us as a helpless, beloved baby, years away from his tragic death, and months away from us telling the story we heard just now. And yet, today this is the story we tell. Today, on the last Sunday of our liturgical year, we try to hold it all together all at once. Christ, the triumphant King, Christ, the humiliated and crucified, Christ, the helpless baby. The next time we hear this part of Jesus' story will be Holy Week, when we journey with Jesus through his death to his resurrection, from humiliation to vindication. But today, we remember that Christ was already King on the cross, not only after the resurrection. The resurrection was a sign of that which was already true, that God's forgiveness, God's love, God's solidarity with humanity knows no bounds, that God's power simply cannot be overpowered and resides in the one on the cross. And so today, as opposed to during Holy Week, we hear this dark, sad story in the context of a joyful celebration filled with beauty and thanksgiving and blessings. Today, we do not remember this story as the moment of Christ's death, but as an expression of Christ's reign. Today, perhaps more than any other Sunday in the year, time goes a little funny, a little wibbly-wobbly, if you will, as we look from the crucifixion back to the manger and ahead, perhaps way, way ahead, to Christ's coming again in order to see the fullness of the kingdom, which arrived on earth with Christ the baby, and which will be completed in the fullness of time, and all of that is present, then and now, on the cross. But the people gathered around who scoffed at Jesus on the cross couldn't conceive of such a thing. The only acceptable proof of Jesus' kingship, of his power, would be for him to stop being crucified, to reveal his power by coming down off the cross and overruling the power of those who put him there. That his kingship was actually revealed in his staying on the cross. That he would reign as a crucified king was beyond comprehension. Fair enough. It's not our idea of power either, and we have the benefit of 2,000 years of theological reflection on the idea. But whether we can understand it or not, there it is. The King of all creation, the one through whom all things were made and in whom all things hold together. The revelation of the true nature of God, God's self, does not save himself. He forgives us. He submits to us. He saves us. Which is quite nice. But if we are honest with ourselves, it's still not a terribly compelling kind of king. Bewildering, unsettling, yes, but not motivating, really, not exciting. We prefer heroes that we want to emulate, heroes that dazzle us with their prowess and inspire us with their glory, heroes who woo us with their charm, or even heroes who frighten us with their power. That's the sort of hero we arrange our schedules for, dedicate our lives to, follow into strange and dangerous places, but that's not the kind of king we've got. We've got Jesus on a cross, forgiving his killers and promising a condemned thief a place in paradise. This is the one we claim to follow, the one whose story we make our own, the one we place at the center of our lives, except for when we don't. And we so often don't. Because making Christ our king is hard. Christ's kingdom does not look much like the world we see around us. And living by the laws of Christ's kingdom is at best inconvenient and embarrassing, and at worst, dangerous, demanding that we reject the authority of those who would lay claim to our obedience and our loyalty, the emperors and kings of our day, so that we might truly follow only Jesus. Forgiving those who harm us, loving those who hate us, striving not for wealth or status, but for peace and kindness, giving ourselves freely over for the protection of those weaker than we are, offering thanks and praise to God rather than pretending a power and independence that is not truly ours, these kinds of practices make us vulnerable and rarely translate into worldly success. These are practices designed for a different world than the one we face. But we were also designed for a different world than the one we face. All of creation was designed for a different world than the one we face. And these practices lead us into that other world, revealing to us partially and imperfectly the promised kingdom of peace and justice and abundant life. The world where death and war and fear and hate are no more. The world where you and I and every person are made truly whole and truly free. Today we are proclaiming Christ to be king. On the cross, in the manger, and right now, in this world, which means we are also proclaiming ourselves to be subjects of this king, inhabitants of this kingdom, not only in the age to come, but now, in this world. And perhaps this is why we end our liturgical year like this. Why we set ourselves up for Advent's season of watching and waiting for the kingdom with this reminder that Christ is already king. To remind ourselves that we are already Christ's subjects, already inhabitants of the kingdom. The world we are waiting for is already ours. Ours to live in, ours to share, ours to reveal. Truly, I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise.